So maybe you got a great idea for a business and you want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers, or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you succeed online. Right now, GoDaddy is offering a .com domain for just $1.49. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code Alonzo149 to get your $1.49.com. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 99 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? As always, I thank you guys for listening, and I'm always surprised that you do, but it's great. I'm glad you're out there. That sound in the background, yes, that is a leaf blower. Yeah, I live in L.A., and that's the quality of our problems. The gardeners are outside. Now, I know if you live in the Northeast, particularly in the Boston area, there won't be any gardeners for a while. Good luck with all that snow and digging out, and I hope you survive. And if you're in the Southeast, like Virginia or Atlanta, there's danger of well over an inch of snow falling. So you should probably just shut down, just close down, state of emergency. I don't know. It's funny. It's just a couple of inches of snow. Of course, it's funny to me because I'm in L.A. I just dodged the bullet. Got out of Jersey Sunday before it all hit. It was cold, but snow hadn't hit yet. And next week, I will be on the Soul Train cruise through the Caribbean. And the following week, I'll be on the Smooth Jazz cruise through the Caribbean. I may not be recording podcasts, but I know you'll be mad at me because, yeah, that's where I'll be, in the Caribbean, hard at work. So enough of my problems. Let's get to the podcast. I'm going to start with ISIS and terrorism, and it's what's going on in the world. I don't do a lot of international stuff here. This thing has grown. Sadly, it's grown. And now, you know, the latest thing, the 21 Egyptian Christians beheaded by ISIS. Just, you know, it's a worldwide international horror. The brutality of the murders to gain attention. Nobody's immune, you know, whether it be an American journalist or a Paris newspaper or now Egyptian Christians. It's a horrible situation. And, you know, President Obama, interestingly, and this is interesting to me, he wrote an op-ed, and I'm sure it was in a lot of newspapers. I read it in the LA Times, but basically he talked about it, this worldwide violent extremism in the name of terror, sadly, quite often in the name of, well, quite often, almost always in the name of religion. And of course, you know, Muslim being the number one, but believe me, there have been Christian acts of terrorism, you know, like, and others. I'm not going to get into that. He wrote this op-ed piece, and he talked about, we've had some success against terrorism. Remember, he's still a politician, so he's got to have all this in there. And, you know, with the weakening of Al-Qaeda, with the capture and killing of bin Laden, et cetera, but this ISIS problem has grown. And he talks about, he calls it ISIL. We all know about that. I'm not going to get into that argument. But he talks about their twisted interpretation of a religion and using it for their own good and their own power. And also, how this twisted version is used for recruiting. In other words, giving young, angry Muslim, mainly men, the feeling of being powerlessness and that their way, terrorism, is the only way to fight back against the West or whatever other evil you want to choose. And so what Barack Obama's pointing out in this op-ed piece is, besides the military action he has asked for and asked Congress to support him on, there has to be other things. And he talked about, you know, the world coming together. There's a meeting of 60 nations in Washington, D.C. He's talking about things like encouraging the good people. See, here's the thing. Whenever, and I've talked about this before, whenever you have bad people and then you have good ones, for instance, in religious extremism, right? A lot of Muslims say, well, look, Islam isn't a religion of violence. We're not all bad. For instance, in the police violence in the United States, the cops are like, look, most cops are good. They're not bad. But I say, and it seems Barack Obama is saying this, that the good people in whatever group have to speak out against the bad people. They have to lead the charge. So in this case of religious extremism or Muslim extremism, what he's saying is the good side has to learn to speak up. And we as meaning the world, has to train them in the use of things like social media and so on to combat the recruitment of these kids by terrorist organizations. Then he also talks about human rights and the fact that you have to treat people like humans. You have to give them basic human rights so that they don't want to join terrorism, so that they see life is okay and that they see a path to a better life, right? If you're trapped in poverty or in some horrible situation and you don't see any chance to move out, suddenly the idea of being a terrorist and attacking those who oppress you seems like a good idea. Now, we deal with this in the United States also, where you have people who feel there is no way out, who feel there's no chance, and therefore they fight back. And they fight back, like the example of looting in Ferguson, where people just feel powerless. And this is what happens. So he's saying that the world, that we need to work on these things. Is there a lot of hypocrisy in it? Yes, there is. Does Saudi Arabia, for example, violate human rights with beheadings and their archaic laws toward women? Yes, definitely. But what he's saying is that this is something the world has to come together, make a movement for people to live better lives so they're less tempted to be terrorism, to be terrorists, and so on. Yes, it's a high bar. It's pie in the sky. It's whatever. But this is the kind of thing. This is leadership. Leaders provide ideas, right? Leaders give perfect ideals. We work toward them, right? So this is what Barack Obama is doing with this op-ed piece, just like he did in his recent State of the Union address and so on. Now, here's what happens. And this is where I laugh, because this is why it's such a joke. So, Barack Obama writes this op-ed piece. According to NPR, CNN, various polls, somewhere between 70 and 80% of Americans agree something must be done against ISIS. And the president asks for military action, military authority, whatever, that it should be given. And what does Congress say? Well, he's not a leader. President Obama doesn't lead. They vote no on everything he says, and then they say he doesn't lead. So while the country is supporting action against ISIS, Congress isn't. And here's why. And this is very interesting how bad our election system, our government, system of government has become, how specialized. Congressmen, Republican congressmen in particular, but also many Democrats, will not support Barack Obama because of their fear of doing bad in the next primary. You see, the primary elections for Congress, like the incumbent in Congress, has such an overwhelming edge going into the general election. They're afraid of the primaries because that's where your Tea Party candidate, your extreme right-wing candidate, or whatever, can beat them and unseat them and they lose their job. So they're only concerned. They don't care about ISIS. They don't care about the president. They don't care about you, that you meaning the nation of the United States. They care about their district. That's all they care about, their base. And look, Eric Cantor, remember Eric Cantor, the right-wing guy, the guy that he was going to be Speaker of the House. He was the guy. They had all plans wiped out in the primaries. It's like being the favorite team that lost in the first round of the playoffs. You didn't get to the championship game because you were taken out in the beginning. They're so worried about that they won't support the battle against ISIS because either Barack Obama isn't doing enough, you know, we want to bomb the hell out of them, they're all Arabs, they're horrible, Muslims, an evil religion, blah, 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 or Barack Obama is doing too much, we don't want to get in another war, we don't want troops on the ground, whatever their base says, whatever their small base says, that's what they're basing it on. so they won't support any sort of effort. This is why nothing gets done. Can you imagine? Each congressman is only trying to appeal to that small group, his base, and cares nothing about the nation as a whole. It's horrible, but that's the system we're in, and that's why it doesn't work, and that's why Obama doesn't lead. Well, on occasion he does lead, but we got to put a stop to that. The Dream Act. And I laugh because this stuff is so funny to me because I'm not that smart, and yet I see it, and I know everyone else does. And again, the media does, but they're not going to call out anybody. Well, it depends on which media you watch, right? If you watch the right, they call out the left. If you watch the left, they call out the right. If you watch the middle, well, enjoy it, but Jon Stewart's quitting soon. Anyway, so Barack Obama wrote an executive action. This is something legal for presidents to do, you know, just refer back to the wars in the Middle East and George Bush, okay? Presidents can do executive actions. Barack Obama's done fewer of them than any president in recent history, but of course they claim he's done more of them. And he said that children who were brought into this country illegally are eligible to get on a fast track towards citizenship, right? So if you were brought over from another country, Mexico, another country at 2 years old, you didn't have any control over that. Now you've gone to American schools, right? You speak English, you're an American, you've been Americanized, but you're still illegal because of that. Then you have a path to citizenship. Now that seems reasonable. You know, that's the standard, right? What would a reasonable person think? I think a reasonable person would say this is okay. Many of these kids have gone to college and now they're educated. Many of these kids have served in the military, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's a judge. There's a judge, and I know you're going to be amazed by this, but he's the Southern District Judge of Texas. Anytime you hear Southern in Texas or anywhere in the South, like if you're Southern in the South, that's to the power of two. You're square. But anyway, Southern District of Texas Judge Andrew Hannon has issued an injunction to stop this executive order. That's right, stop it. Now, here's what I love about this. Some might say this is an activist judge. You know those activist judges the right wing hates who do things like strike down their unconstitutional bans against gay marriage and protect women's right to abortion in various cases. And so those are activist judges and they're bypassing the system and the Constitution and they're making up their own laws. You know, sort of like this Andrew Hannon's doing, who's blocking an executive order, okay? That's legal. The president is allowed to do that, but he's blocking it. But he's not an activist judge. He's a good American. And within his legal argument are a bunch of political statements. That's why this is so obviously wrong and ridiculous. This guy, within his opinion that he writes, quote, "There can be no doubt that failure of the federal government to secure the borders is costing states, even those not on the border, millions of dollars in damages each year." Well, first of all, there's plenty of doubt about that. The government's not securing the borders. But also, that's not like a legal argument. That's a politician's opinion. That's something you say when you're running for the office, okay? Here's another thing he wrote. States lose badly needed tax dollars each year due to presence of illegal aliens. That's just plain not true because many illegal aliens, they pay taxes. Taxes are taken out of their check and those taxes never make it to the IRS or the state franchise tax board. But you better believe they're paying taxes. They also pay taxes on everything they buy. They are part of the economy. So this whole thing of them not paying taxes just plain isn't true. But to write it, these are political statements, and to write them into a court opinion is ridiculous. Some might say it's an activist judge making his own laws. Am I one of those? Yeah, I actually am. I'm saying it. This is an activist judge, and it just proves my point. I've said it before. What's the definition of an activist judge? One you don't agree with. Plain and simple. If this was a left-wing judge against gay marriage, the right wing would be losing their minds. But it's a right wing judge going against President Obama, and it's just a good American And you say American without that A, some bitch. That's right. So, you know, and you know, just look at Mike Huckabee, who wants to be the next president. He basically says, hey, if you don't like a law, just ignore it. If you don't like the fact that the Supreme Court has said that gay marriage is legal, just grab a Bible, look up something in the Old Testament and say no. Just disregard the law. Here's another one. The president makes an executive order. You don't like it? Screw him. He's wrong. It's America. We make up our own laws based on the Bible. And that's how we're going to keep Sharia law, you know, that Arab law based on the Quran out of a... Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. It's the same damn thing. So, what else is going on? I love these stories because I love a caper. I'm sure you've heard about this. And this is straight out of the movies, baby. This is a caper. This is a plot for a film. Hackers have stolen $1 billion from banks. Now, the banks haven't figured out how to charge us for it. They will. There is no doubt they will. But a worldwide organization of computer hackers based out of Russia, some Russian, Chinese, and who knows where else, in a coordinated effort, they infiltrated 100 banks in 30 countries and stole $1 billion. And what they do, apparently they figured out how to create bank accounts and fill the bank accounts with fake money, you know, money on digital, and then they withdraw the money from the ATMs and they get real money. And they're doing this around the world. US, Germany, China, Ukraine. They're also working in the Middle East, Africa, Europe. Basically, this is a coordinated worldwide effort. Why can't we get these guys to fight ISIS? If these guys are this good and they'll work for only $1 billion, I bet they could bust up every terrorist network on Earth. Think about it. $1 billion, that's a lot less than we spend fighting terrorism. Maybe we order, again, it's just like a movie. You get these hackers and you say, listen, we need you to put a stop to all these networks and let us know where these terrorist cells are hiding based on their computer activity. I wouldn't be surprised if these guys could do it. These guys are smart. Obviously, they know how to work the system. If you can crack bank cybersecurity, cracking terrorist cybersecurity can't be that difficult for you. Just saying. Toss them $1 billion, see what they do. Yeah, and we'll give them $1 billion tax-free. Maybe they're illegal aliens, and they don't pay taxes anyway. Okay, that's enough of all of that stuff. As you may or may not have heard, Miss P won the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. Miss P is a beagle. It's a beautiful beagle, and she won. I don't really know why that matters. I don't really know if I care. But look, if ESPN is going to cover the dog show, the least I could do is mention it, right? The interesting thing about the dog show, of course, PETA, you know, protests the dog show. Don't know really why, because if you want to talk about ethical treatment of animals, these show dogs have to be treated better than a lot of children, okay? Yeah, granted, the breeders don't show the dogs that aren't perfect, but you know what they do? They take care of them. I once had one. I had a little miniature pincher named Mouse, and Mouse was a great little dog. Now, granted, the breeder did debark Mouse, which I thought was kind of mean. You know, that's something they do to their vocal cords so they can't yap. So her bark sounded like a cough. But this dog was trained beautifully, and it was a show dog breeder. And Mouse had some unknown defect that wouldn't allow her to be on stage. So the breeder kept it as a pet, and I ended up with her. And unfortunately, I couldn't keep Mouse because of my crazy travel schedule. But it was a cool little pooch. The point being, these breeders are anything but cruel to these dogs. It's not like they're like, oh, this one won't win best in show, so I'll kill it. They're not that bad, but PETA has a problem with it. And here's what I love about this Westminster show, and I just realized this today. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue and the Westminster Kennel Club dog show are at about the same time. And don't they both kind of showcase best in breed? And don't they both have to get those complaints of people who say, well, those aren't normal looking. Those are, you know, special perfect examples. That's just kind of funny to me. I'm not calling the models dogs. I'm not calling dogs models. I'm just saying it's kind of funny to me that these two examples of best in breed both come out at the same time. said it before, I say it again. I have no problem with models looking perfect because that's their job. They're not supposed to look like ordinary Americans. They're not supposed to look like ordinary people. They're supposed to look perfect. So God bless them for what they do. Anyway, yeah, they won the birth lottery. You mad at them? Well, you better get mad at, oh, I don't know, the royal family in England, the Kennedys, and a million other people who've inherited wealth. That's how it goes. Some people win the birth lottery. If you win the birth lottery and you look perfect and you become a swimsuit model, God bless you. What do you know? Good for you. I don't know what to say. I got no problem with it. So, here's one. I had never heard this term, and I'd have sworn this was only a California thing, but apparently it's everywhere. Have you heard of free-range parenting? There's actually a debate about this. As near as I can tell from this article, and I'm reading this from an NPR article, so I haven't gone in depth in my research of free-range parenting, but apparently free-range parenting is allowing your child to do things on his own. Now, I'm not talking about toss the two-year-old a gun. That's parenting in Iowa at a Walmart. No, I'm not talking about that. That's good American parenting right there. Give him a gun, some bitch. No, I'm not talking like Daniel and Alexander Mestiv in Silver Spring, Maryland, are being investigated because they let their children, ages 10 and 6, walk home from a park by themselves. Now, it doesn't say how far they walked, but I got a feeling it wasn't one of those 10-mile walks uphill both ways. A 10-year-old kid can walk home from the park. That's not free-range parenting. That's growing up. When I was 10 years old, and I grew up in a black suburb of New York. It's called St. Albans. 50 Cent called it the hood. Nobody else would. We had a lawn. We had a two-car garage. So did all the other neighbors. You know, I had a bicycle. I played Little League. All right. It was a black neighborhood. Working class, blue-collar black neighborhood. I went to the park when I was 10. I got on my bike, and the park was, it was, you had to ride, you know, I don't know if it was a mile away. I'll give it a mile, something like that, but it was okay. My parents weren't free-range parenting. Here's another one. In Austin, Texas, Child Protective Services showed up after a 6-year-old was playing alone in a field 150 yards from his house. That's a football field. You can see 150 yards from your house. Your kid was playing in a field and Child Protective Services came. So that's free-range parenting. That's letting a kid grow up, okay? That's a kid who's probably not going to have an obesity problem because he was running around outside. So should all the kids just sit at home in front of the TV playing video games, eating chips, eating snacks, drinking soda, and getting fatter and fatter, so we have more 300-pound 10-year-olds and 600-pound teens to be on TLC, and then we complain about childhood obesity. Neglect. It is not neglect to let your child go to the park. I'm not saying let a 4-year-old. The 6-year-old wasn't going there by himself. It was going with the 10-year-old brother. And I'm sure this wasn't, you know, these kids wasn't marching through South Central. All right, these kids weren't walking through Compton. It was some Silver Springs, Maryland, suburb of D.C. This is unbelievable to me. So this is free-range parenting. There's a woman who let her daughter play in the park while she was working. That might be kind of bad. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm not a parent. But it just seems to me we're getting a little bit ridiculous here. Free-range parenting. Listen, when I was 12, 13, I was a commuter. Definitely at 13. I took the public transportation, the bus and the subway, to get to school. At 13, I did that. At 14, I did it every day, starting high school. So were my parents horrible free-range parents, or are they just typical New York parents? I don't know. Maybe I'm all screwed up and I don't realize it. I am all screwed up, but completely different reasons. So free-range parenting is bad. And I'm going to wrap it up with this story, because this one kind of blew me away. I was at my gym where I do my spin class. Yeah, I do spin. What about it? I love it. Anyway, there was a the spin instructor was talking about eating Valentine's candy and eating ice cream, and another instructor was talking about, well, you know, cut back on this and that. And this young woman, I don't know her name, don't know her at all, young woman in her 20s, I would say probably early 20s, very pale, that kind of person that doesn't go out in the sun for whatever reason. And she said, oh, ice cream, no, I haven't eaten dairy in years. I would never, it's poison, blah, blah, blah. And all I was thinking was, how sad is it to be a young woman in your 20s and you can't go out in the sun on a summer day and eat ice cream? How sad. Not physically can't, just you refuse to do it because of some, I don't even know. I don't even know what your fear is at that point. I'm not saying eat a tub of ice cream every day in front of the TV. I'm saying you can't eat ice cream and sit in the sun. You're missing out on life. That's all I'm saying. Hey, if you're listening to this, when it's warm enough, go eat some ice cream, sit out in the sun, and watch. You will live another day. And if you see a kid running around playing in a park, don't call the cops. Let the kid be a kid. We are absolutely a mess. Thank you guys for listening. As I said, I'm going to be on the cruises for the next 2 weeks. March 13th and 14th, I'm going to be back at Bananas in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. And the following week, I'm going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Looking forward to getting back to Baltimore. Haven't been there in years. Thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention. This is Alonzo Bowden. I'll talk to you later.